Hey, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's Not So Shy John, and the special guest star today, Tucker Booth.
The return of the hobo prince.
The prodigal son back from St. Louis. So tell me what's going on there in St. Louis.
Well, John, St. Louis is baseball crazy right now. I don't know if you heard, but the Cardinals snuck in on the last day of the regular season for the second year in a row. Last year when they did that, they went on and won the World Series eventually. So obviously everybody in St. Louis is watching baseball.
I bet they are.
That's today's game is actually in progress. I'll probably be able to update you folks by
Great
the end
American
of it.
Pastime. Oh, so I have a new catchphrase today. Let's see if I can play this.
Mungo only pawn in game of life.
Yes.
It just seemed like somehow appropriate.
So how have you been, Not So Shy? What did I miss last week?
Mungo only pawn in game of life.
Mungo only pawn in game of life. That's been my week, pretty much. Let's see. Battling the varmints at home, you know, all the various ones, human and otherwise.
Bedbugs beard.
Oh, crap. I have yet to see one here. And I tell you, I put on new clothes when I come here. I sprayed my shoes with alcohol for real before I put them on today. But if you spray them with alcohol, they instantly die. So I'm being very conscientious. I've been vacuuming, and there's like a pound of diatomaceous earth in the vacuum. So if anything goes in there, it will die. It can't crawl out of that 6-foot tube. I'm being very meticulous and assiduous, and that's how you get rid of them. And I know
it's serendipitous.
And I know it's not the kind of thing that they were totally out of hand. It's just crazy, crazy.
I've also heard that the Mormons instantaneously die if you spray them with alcohol. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah, and Muslims, too. Islamists, yeah. It's
well, I was marveling at the debates last week. I know I was away while the debates were going on, but I did watch them with my good friend Jonathan Toth from Hoth from the Frozen Food section and our cameraman Lincoln Nelson. And we were flabbergasted to realize that Mitt Romney is 65 years of age. Did you know that?
Oh, is he now? No, I didn't know that.
Wow. This guy looks over 40.
He's a seasoned professional.
I mean, the face looks very young. He's got the graying temples and whatnot. But, gosh, I don't know what 65 looks like, but my dad's not even 65. And I would dare say Mitt looks a solid 20 years younger than my father. So that's wild. And all I can think was, if you're raised in the Mormon church, instead of alcohol, I think they actually have a flask that Ponce de Leon got out of the Fountain of Youth originally, and they just pass it around as Eucharist or something, you know?
That's a little creepy. I don't know.
You're tipping that fountain water, instead of wine at communion, because obviously those, godless Catholics,
And a lot of different religions work in symbols, and they have some kind of symbol. I mean, I was raised a Catholic, and they have the Eucharist, and they have, confession, which is good for the soul. And the Jewish religion has a Day of Atonement, where you really have heart for and own up to yourself, that sort of thing. I think that's cathartic. So that there are parallels across different religions. The other thing I was going to say is I heard George Carlin say the other day, you can't get too hung up in your symbols because symbols are for the symbol-minded.
Oh, wow.
You have to retain the essence of what it is that you're holding the symbol of. See, because that the symbol is not it. And people come into worshiping like the symbol of this paper money that they're handing around, of which only I think 3% of the total currency is actually in printed paper money, and the rest exists in the cyber world and is getting passed by the billions and millions from hand to hand above our heads.
They don't even use money. They just punch each other in the face.
No, that's another.
That's their form of barter.
You're mixing your societies there. Yeah, it's you use lawyers for that. We're very civilized about it. Called eminent domain. Sorry, you got to go.
So I got to take one more run at the debates. We tried very hard while watching the debates last week to not only listen to what they were saying, which is incredibly difficult when as much gish galop is coming out of both of those guys' mouths, but also to really critically analyze their debate styles, because they both had been in the news about getting debate coaching from their various people. I guess Barack was with John Kerry getting debating debate coaching, Mitt was some lady. I don't remember her. She's a senator, though. Republican senator, taught him how to be better debater. I have to say, Mitt out-debated Barack by a mile, if we're talking about debate. Better lines, better likability. He even sounded smarter. And that's shocking, because Barack Obama has been known as what? The great orator, right? I mean, that's like his like biggest strength, is his speaking ability. And he looked like a bumbling fool.
Yeah, he was not at all aggressive. I mean, he gave Romney every opportunity to be aggressive.
And then Barack hemmed and hawed and couldn't remember his talking points. And
he was playing rope-a-dope or something. I don't know.
I guess, or he just didn't think Mitt was going to bring it, so he just didn't bring it himself.
Or, you know, maybe he was figuring, I'm not even going to address his lies, knowing that they were lies or knowing that he had counters for them, but saying, you know, the fact checkers and the people who were going to dissect this and cut it into little pieces are going to do all that for me. And they pretty much did. The other thing is, Romney was very smooth talking, and he had it all ready to launch. And a lot of it was bullshit.
His face didn't have that "I want to punch you in it" quality that it normally does. I really think they even worked on his physical
just
appearance.
Really softened it and really tried to make himself accessible.
He didn't look as psychotic. He looked borderline likable in the face.
I listened to the debates on the radio, so I didn't get to watch it.
It makes a humongous difference.
So much was made about their body language and their demeanor, and that's always the case in the case of like a face-to-face debate, is the kind of body language that you use and the way you react to things, all the eye rolls or whatever it is, has a lot of interpreting to be done to it. I heard another guy on NPR call in and say he listened to the debates on the radio, and he thought Obama actually made better points.
Well, of course.
And, you know, was more intellectual about his approach. And I think Obama was trying to stay on the side of honesty and actually defending himself from honest ground and from that base. And Romney wasn't bound by any of that.
Well, and more than that, I think it's that Barack knows damn well that he can't recycle the slogans from 4 years ago, because now we'll just look at him and go, psh. And I'm interested in the sense that I want to trust that whoever I end up voting for in this election means what they say and says what they mean. And we always go through this process with the presidential elections of believability, honesty, integrity, presidential strengths that trump any common sense. Almost like Kennedy was so utterly likable by people at that time, even though he was a pretty lousy president. On record.
All together, yeah.
Yeah. But yet, what we don't remember that he almost ushered us into World War III. We remember him being assassinated and that being a tragic thing because he was a handsome, likable, big dick swinging president. That's how he goes down. But once again, we talk about debate styles. Kennedy Nixon in 1960 was the first televised debate. And that's people that listened on the radio thought Nixon was doing awesome. Mm-hmm. People that watched on TV saw him sweating and looking like hell with his 5 o'clock shadow at 11 in the morning. And they thought Kennedy looked like Bachelor on like ABC.
A used car salesman, right? something on the cover of
Jesse
Teen
Palmer
Heartthrob.
From ESPN. Dude, I mean, and that's why he essentially won over so many people on television, was that he looked like a president. Or what the public thought a president should look like.
Yeah.
Almost the Warren Harding effect. I read about Warren Harding, who's long been considered one of our worst presidents in American history.
Okay.
Worst all the way around, just meaning like didn't do anything right, did mostly wrong, died within the first 4 years. This was a big freaking mess of a president. But everybody that voted for him said the same thing when asked the question, why did you vote for Harding? They said, he just looks like a president. He was 6'4". He was handsome. He was youngish looking for 40 or whatever.
Okay.
So he was a young, handsome, studly looking man. The Warren Harding effect means if you appear presidential, even just by look, that can go further than anything you say or even do before or during one's presidency. So now we go back to Barack. I think Barack had the Warren Harding effect in 08, very much so. Handsome, youngish looking, very well spoken.
The last election, you mean?
Yeah, in 08.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. Mm-hmm. And had that ability to create great optimism and hope in one that listened to him. The only problem is now we're 4 years later and we're not as optimistic because you didn't do any of the shit you promised, dude.
Well, he didn't do in 3 years what had taken 12 years to get that bad.
I agree that he inherited a big heaping pile of crap. Don't get me wrong.
Going back to Reagan.
But he was saying, in 4 years, we'll have righted this ship. And it's not right.
Well, that was his platform. You're really right. That, you know, that was what he stood on and made all kinds of promises.
And we believed him because we thought, God, this guy just seems so much more lovable and believable than all the other dudes over the last 20 years.
But so many times through his time there, the Senate and the Congress has stood in his way and stopped him from passing things because they're, like Republicans, determined to make him a one-term president.
That's true. And until we basically reinvent government, folks, which we all keep saying, but I really think that's going to mean revolution. And I don't mean with guns. I mean like a mental, spiritual revolution in this world.
Well, like throwing out the Electoral College, for one, would be nice.
And not acknowledging rigged elections like the one in 2000. Where the public goes, no, I don't care if the Supreme Court does rule on it this way. If this doesn't happen, we're moving to Canada.
I think people probably did.
You know, and not just a few, a mass exodus, folks. Or stop paying taxes.
Or stop voting, yeah, both.
If hundreds of millions of Americans stopped paying taxes entirely, not just, you know, the poor, but all of us, stopped paying taxes entirely because we didn't agree with the rigged election, I bet you Bush would have been gone in 04.
I don't know.
Would have been a frickin' mess, and they definitely would know that they had inherited that as some sort of karmic backlash, if you will. So I guess I'm preaching to all of you today. Don't revolt with guns, because that's just going to get them pissed. You don't want them sending out their attack dogs. I'd say revolt mentally and revolt very directly with your tax dollars.
Some way, it's with your wallet that you vote. I think that's the way people should vote, with their wallet, against the large corporations that are taking over, like Walmart. I mean, as difficult as it may be for some people, I don't think Walmart is a good idea. I don't think they're a good store with any kind of good policies. They're not a good employer. And no matter what kind of deals you can get there, as long as we keep supporting those billionaires, those five billionaires that hold the company, they're going to just continue roaring along and taking over whole small towns, including like Chinatown. Destroy all the cultural integrity of that little place there. You know, oh yeah, we'll be bringing in jobs, you know, these $8.50 and $9 an hour jobs, and encouraging their employees to go get food stamps.
It was a trip. I just looked over at Chinatown this afternoon, and all I could see was the great Walmart of China.
Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid.
Sam Walton, asso. Me Iraqi very much.
Oh,
good geez. Savings. Oh, racist interpretation of Chinese accent. Bing bong bing. So we Chinese, we play joke. We put PP on Kill Radio. So with that in mind, we're gonna drop some hot piss on these guys.
I've got a bit of a news article here for you. It makes me think of you. Made me think of you, really. It's from livescience.com. I don't know if I'll have time to put it in my news, because I haven't done my news yet, but I thought, well, if I read it in here, maybe there will be people who could benefit by it, people with kids that, I'm in the business of raising consciousness. I always think that, right? Okay, here we go. Parent involvement may be more important than school qualities. Megan Gannon, news editor. Date October 10th, 2012. Good schools make a difference, but parent involvement better predicts a child's academic performance than the qualities of the school he or she attends, a new study suggests. Our study shows that parents need to be aware of how important they are and invest time in their children, checking homework, attending school events, and letting kids know school is important. Study researcher Toby Parcell of North Carolina State University said in a statement, that's where the payoff is. Parcell and her colleagues evaluated data from a national study of 10,585 students, along with information about their parents, teachers, and school administrators. The researchers focused on how the students' family social capital and school social capital affected their academic achievement. Family social capital measures a parent's involvement in a child's school life and the trust and communication between the parent and the child, the researcher said. School social capital, meanwhile, measures the effectiveness of a school as learning environment through teachers' morale and ability to address the needs of individual students, as well as student participation in extracurricular activities, the researcher said. Students with high family social capital and low school social capital generally had better grades than students with high school social capital but low family social capital, the researchers found. In other words, while both school and family involvement are important, the role of family involvement is stronger when it comes to academic success, Parcell said in a statement. This held true even when the researchers tested whether race, socioeconomic status, marital status, and family size had any indirect effects that might influence the relationship between family social capital and academic achievement. However, the researchers did not analyze the roles of financial capital and human capital at home and at schools, which they acknowledged was a limitation of their study. If we were to find, for example, that parental financial capital, ergo parental earnings, were more important than financial capital at school, ergo per pupil expenditures, and that parental human capital, that would be parental education, were more important than school's human capital, teacher qualifications, these findings would provide additional evidence regarding the relative importance of families and schools in reproducing inequality, the authors wrote in their paper, in the journal Research in Social Stratification and Mobility. Most likely, however, the story is much more complex. Nonetheless, their research could inform debates about how to improve academic achievement, and it suggests that investing in family social capital might have greater benefits than investing in school social capital. One possibility is expansion of supportive workplace policies, such as flex time, that would allow parents to attend school meetings and participate in extracurricular activities with their children without adversely affecting their jobs, the researchers wrote. You know, another thing that came to mind was having a good social structure at school and hanging with smart friends also helps reinforce that, rather than if you're just hanging with the dummies that, you know, play chess in the library.
It's interesting. I was thinking while you were reading that about my son, Max, who's almost three. If you're listening, hi, Max.
Hi, Max.
But Max loves sports. Loves it. Uh-huh. Passionate.
Well, it's,
passionate,
you know,
love.
It's, yeah.
And not every child, I've worked with kids in education that are his age. Uh-huh. Not every child takes the sport. You know, and we're not even just talking about girls or anything. We're talking about there are boys that don't care for it at all.
Huh.
Never have, never will. I've seen them when they're young. I've seen them when they're grown-ups.
I was kind of one of those.
Like that. I have friends like that. They never gave a shit. It wasn't that they didn't think sport had any value.
I'm a mean biker.
Right.
I love to
sport.
Play Frisbee.
That
I mean, you know. Yeah.
That all counts. But what I mean is this boy of mine loves every sport equally.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that he doesn't have certain ones he would want to do more often, but he loves them all. He would be fascinated if you pulled out a hockey stick. He'd be fascinated if you pulled out a bowling ball. He'd be fascinated if you pulled out anything sport-related at all. A tennis racket, doesn't matter. Now, I was thinking about when I was a kid, I only had one sport I loved, basketball. I grew up in Portland. We all loved basketball.
Okay.
We had a basketball team. Everybody played.
Sure.
It was what all the kids did. So I loved basketball. If you told me to watch a baseball game, I'd go tell you to go fuck yourself. I didn't care about baseball. I didn't care about football. I didn't care about golf. I didn't care about anything but basketball. I remember my dad played golf with his work buddies, trying to get me to play when I was a kid. Fuck you, Dad. I don't want to play golf. That's for nerds and old white dudes and rich people. Like, you know, seriously, really? Now my son wants to go play golf every day.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, it's not because he was born a golfer.
No.
It was because I got enthused about it right about the time he was born.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned 30, I started thinking, well, maybe I'll take it up. I had friends that liked it.
How much time actually has he spent with you FaceTime while you were playing golf, though?
Quite a bit.
There
which,
you go.
Which is it. And
there
that's what
go.
I'm getting to is
you're
that.
You're his hero.
And I took him out with me, even when he was 1.5, and gave him a little plastic club and a little wiffle ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing with me or trying his best. John, he's not even 3, and he can get a ball out of tall grass with a real club. A real ball with a real club and hit it high into the air in a lofting arc.
Wow.
Now, I could barely do that now most of the time. He can do it already. Because why? Because I love it and I encouraged him. And every time we went out and did it, I made it fun. I tried so hard not to be like severe, angry dad trying to make you an athlete. All I did was say, this is play.
Yeah.
If you want to stop, we just got to put your stuff away and we'll go play on the slides or the swings. No big whoops.
And he still wanted to play.
He wants to do nothing but. He doesn't want to go on the slides. We went to the park this morning and he wanted to swing the golf club for an hour. That's what he wanted to do. And he had the slides right there.
Huh.
I think it's interesting. Now, we're just talking about golf. We're not talking about school. But I know plenty of kids, including myself, whose parents put a big focus on education, reading specifically, like we've talked about on here.
Yeah.
Which is the root of education. To know how to read and to analyze and process reading well is the root of being a well-educated
person.
Teaching
logic and common sense. I mean, I think that really does come from your family or lack thereof.
And knowing how to read the manual and then implement what the manual just told you to do.
Yeah,
I don't
care
if you're reading a car manual
that kind of thinking.
Or a freaking math book.
Like how to read a map. You know, all of those kinds of skills are also part of reading, but being able to interpret information and make a deduction from that.
Right.
So it's all a process.
But I think my parents were passionate because they were great students and because they went to a college that excited their imagination and that gave them a first-class education without paying a first-class price, which is also something they instilled in me, this desire to find great values, find the best educational values. You don't have to pay $200,000 to go to Harvard, folks, to get a Harvard-level education. You need to know how to use your library effectively, and you could pretty much educate yourself in most fields quite a bit. You may need more special training. I'm not saying you shouldn't go and take mastery programs if you want to be a true master of something, but I dare say you could get your undergraduate education at a freaking public library, man. You know?
Or off the web. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, it is there. You would have to corroborate everything, but, it's in there. It's in there. There are compendiums of knowledge that are completely accessible now from any corner of the globe. So there are people that are getting smarter. I think the consciousness of the public must be slowly, getting off of ground level, I would hope.
So now how do we get these folks to stop playing Call of Duty long enough to go to the library and learn to read? No, I'm just kidding. Like half the people out there are like, we're tuning out. I was playing Call of Duty and listening simultaneously.
Texting isn't helping either. I have a friend who used to send me lots of texts that I couldn't even read at all. Couldn't even read them at all.
Gishgalop. Well, anyways, let's hit them with some tunes, man. What do you got? I know you brought some things to play, right?
Oh, not really. I don't have anything really special. Here, let me just play a Warren Zevon and a Nick Cave, okay?
Right on. And we'll be playing some more stuff later on. I brought a great one. It's our President Barack Obama rapping over the Jay-Z beat, 99 Problems.
Oh, you got to call that up. You got to on this one because I'm hooked up to the fast signal.
So. We're going to get a nice little set going here. Stick around, folks. Kill Radio. Birch.
Well, I went to the doctor. I said, I'm feeling kind of rough. Let me break it to you, son. Your shit's fucked up. I said, my shit's fucked up. Well, I don't see how. He said, the shit that used to work won't work now. Shucks, oh well. Now it's all fucked up. It's shot up to hell. Yeah, my shit's fucked up. It has to happen to the best of us. The rich folks suffer like the rest of us. It'll happen to you. That amazing grace door to pass you by. You wake up every day and you start to cry. You wanna die, but you just can't quit. Let me break it on down. It's the fucked up shit. Yeah, my shit's fucked up. Fucked up.
Can't hold her all the way I do now. Ada got a gold mine. Ada got a gold mine. Ada got a gold mine. Well, but Bernice, the shiv is golden. The shiv is golden. The shiv is golden. Hey, but Bernice, oh, look yonder. Look a look yonder. Look a look yonder. Well, the sun done gone. Whoa, black Betty, bam, bam, whoa, black Betty. Bam a lamb, a black Betty had a baby. Bam a lamb, a black Betty had a baby. Bam a lamb, a damn thing was crazy. Bam a lamb, damn thing was crazy. Bam a lamb, whoa, black Betty, bam a lamb, whoa, black Betty, bam a lamb, oh Betty, black Betty, bam a lamb, oh Betty, black Betty, bam a lamb, black Betty had a baby. Bam a lamb, black Betty had a baby. Bam a lamb, a damn thing was crazy. Bam a lamb, a damn thing was crazy. Bam a lamb, a black Betty didn't mind.
Lately, I've been listening to a lot of Jay-Z.
If you're having bank problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems.
But it's not one.
I got
protesters saying our economy blows.
And my Wall Street brothers occupying
close.
You bitches keep saying
no change.
No votes.
I work for the bank.
Stupid.
What type of threats
are those?
The gas pumps
where your whole paycheck goes.
It's been a long time since you was
having cash flow. So
fuck
my critics.
You can kiss
my gas
hole.
If you don't like my lyrics,
then you can hit the road.
Who cares about
the polls and this election's
a show?
If you want to vote for
Mitt,
I don't
give a shit.
So the news and mags try to use my weak ass
so
advertisers
give them
more cash for ads.
Fuckers,
I don't know
what you take me as,
but understand
the intelligence
Obama has.
Your problem.
Richest
to rank bitches.
He's dumb.
I got 99 problems.
But it's not one.
99 problems.
But
ain't one.
With all your
bank problems,
I feel bad for you,
son.
I got 99 problems.
But Mitch,
not one
hit. Mitch, the year is
2009,
and the White House is
mine, but the economy is in
full
motherfucking
decline.
My choices
at the time
were to
shit
on the poor
or
fillet
the banks
to get elected
once more.
Now, I'm not
trying to fight.
J.P. Morgan
Chase
got their
campaign dollars
so I can
win the race.
So
I
suck their
dick
and watch
the country implode.
Her son, do you know how to cheat the tax code?
Well,
I'm young,
and I'm rich,
and my tax rate's low.
Don't
I look like a
1%?
admit you would know that I passed your test, or should I guess some?
No, just tell us what you said down to Mexico.
If you think I'm stepping down from office for trafficking weapons in their drug cartel war, I ain't stepping down from shit because this president's legit.
Well, do you mind if we see that birth certificate?
All my records are blocked, you conspiracy hack, and I know my rights, so you gonna need a warrant for that.
Now, aren't you sharp as a tack? Are you some type of lawyer or something?
Well, I'm not a lawyer for nothing. I passed the bar, so I know quite a bit. Enough that you don't stand a fucking chance.
Yeah. Well, let's see how smart you are when the election counts.
I got 99 problems, but this bitch ain't one. 99 problems, but this ain't one. With all your bank problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but bitch, not one hit me.
Criminal. Fraud, repression, deceit, like murder, and I plunder for the world elite. We invade countries, so
we have all
they own.
I have a dream.
Well, I have a dream. I'm Barack Obama, and I like this remix.
I knew you would enjoy that one, children.
Oh, I had to make a comment on that. That was fabulous. That was amazing. Just really, what a cut up. That was amazing cut.
That is an amazing toast, not only to our president and his opponent, but also to Jay-Z, Rick Rubin. God, that was a great mashup. Woo. If you get on YouTube, go type in 99 problems, but Mitt ain't one.
Well, it's 99 problems, explicit political remix, in parentheses, original upload.
It'll see Obama's picture on it with a parental advisory label.
It's only got a 500,000 hits on it right now, but wow, that was very well done. And they left all the video up of all that soundtrack. Just, wow, hilarious.
In fact, to see it on YouTube is really half of the entertainment of that, folks. So go check it out again on YouTube for sure.
Well, and it's an appropriate response because last week I played, what was it, Mitt Gangnam Style. Mitt Romney Style. That's hilarious.
That's a Mitt Romney Style, dog.
Oh, my God. So now you want to play the Serengeti?
Yeah, this is one off Dennehy. Yeah. Little nod to our boy Serengeti. He's got a new album that just came out on Anticon Records called C-A-R, C.A.R. Otherwise known as CAR, but it's an acronym, so you know I gotta say C-A-R. But this is off his classic album Dennehine. This is a little bit of an underground cut that only those of us that love him the most know, but it's called Go Paint.
I'll have you know there are no dislikes on this in 2100 hits so far,
so that already makes it better than my YouTube videos. Hello. Dislike buttons are par for the course on TDB's page.
You can't make some omelets without breaking eggs, you know?
That's right.
Okay, here we go.
You know what's wrong? Couldn't just smile and go along. Too opinionated, too headstrong. That's how it went. Couldn't simply pay a compliment. Now you're stuck with words like ain't and go paint. What's wrong? Couldn't just smile and go along. So opinionated, so headstrong. That's how it went. Couldn't simply pay a compliment. Now you're stuck with words like ain't and go paint. Bridges, porches, houses, steps. Showing up late, needing a damn smoke break. Colleagues on dope and speak about divorces. While the dream is fading fast, of Porsches and six courses. What's wrong? It's time to go paint. Steps, fences, schools, and old banks. Parking blocks, even painted the garage of an old cop. The painting industry don't stop. Dealing with smoke breaks. Showing up late. Took the job to quote, take a little break. I guess you arrived cause it's too late. You know what's wrong cause it's time to go paint. Mailboxes, drywall, the former rebel. Doing this for years, then began to settle. Used to have dream of Rome and Miami Beach. Now it's wet city heat in the streets. Gotta go as wrong. Couldn't just smile and go along. So opinionated, so headstrong. That's how it went. Couldn't simply pay a compliment. Now you're stuck with words like ain't and time to go paint. What's wrong? Couldn't just smile and go along. So opinionated, so headstrong. That's how it went. Couldn't simply pay a compliment. Now you're stuck with words like ain't and go paint. Go paint, go paint. Yeah, wet city heat, go paint, yeah. Don't forget your painting smocks. This paint, paint business just don't stop, man.
There goes that lone soldier, the
Coco Cade, Dale Gaga. There goes that lone soldier, Coco Cade, Dale Gaga. Swung. Couldn't just smile and go along, so opinionated and so headstrong. That's how it went. Couldn't simply pay a compliment. Now you're stuck with words like ain't, and time to go paint. Paint bridges, paint houses, paint drywall, paint, paint, paint. Yeah. Wet city heat beats the streets, paint oil pumps, paint trucks, paint banks. Yeah. It's time to go paint. Don't forget your art smock. Meet the pool by the docks, man. There goes that lone soldier, Coco Cade, Dale Gaga. There goes that lone soldier, Coco Cade, Dale Gaga. There goes that lone soldier, Coco Cade, Dale Gaga. There goes that lone soldier, Coco Cade, Dale Gaga.
In the dim half-light of sunset, the castle glowed with an eerie green light that seemed to radiate from within the moss-covered stone walls.
Hey! You see that house up there? You see that crazy light coming out of there? Oh, oh shit, they're coming out. Get down, get down. Oh, they're coming over her. What? What do they got gifts? What was this? Shit. I bet I can smoke man.
I call them aliens cause they're green men. I call them aliens cause they're green men. I call them aliens cause they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in. Call them aliens, cause they're green men. I call them aliens, cause they're green men. I call them aliens, cause they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in.
First time I saw them, I was with my pa. We were playing baseball with my jaw.
Crash! Take that, you Cubs fan.
He spoke and smack. Stole a couple of my teethers and broke the bat. But walking home, he stopped to smoke in front of abandoned house. Us kids thought was lost a dose. There were peeps in there, putting something in the air. And twerk tobacco, I could smell burn. They came out that haunted house like down lows walking out. Now I'm topping about, kind of surprising if you're unprepared. But the size of the split this guy had with him, shit, I was unaware. The only young in there, they was talking to the air like there was something there. Out of lighters, Pa had no spare. So we showed him how to hit him with a road flare.
I call them aliens cause they're green men. I call them aliens cause they're green men. Call them aliens cause they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in. Call them aliens cause they're green men. Call them aliens cause they're green men. Call them aliens cause they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in.
They gave him some and he took it home. Got himself faded, taking two shots to the dome. He slowed some and it showed some. Lazy eye looking like an alien, might have poked one. Then he closed them, started breathing heavy, giggling like a little girl, seeming friendly, telling me I'm his favorite son. Spider sense was yelling at me like, where's taser gun? Cause this ain't normal, a straight word. Paul hates being nice like he hates words. Then he did something that he ain't done in years. He smiled, didn't whip my derriere. So let's get this very clear. Green men passing by them who are fairly near the edge. Get get their number when they come down. For Paul's sake, make sure he never runs out.
I call them aliens because they're green men. I call them aliens because they're green men. I call them aliens because they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in. I call them aliens because they're green men. I call them aliens because they're green men. All them aliens, cause they're green men. And when I see their spaceship, I know the green's in.
Isn't it beautiful?
I had to kill him eventually. No, he ran out of weed.
Mine.
Oh, went back to his old ways. But I got a little older by then. So, stay sober. If by sober, I mean high.
Out there rocking the Duramax coming for the power stroke.
Bump the senior sub.
They don't wanna see us loose, they don't wanna see us loose. Nah, nah.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose,
get loose.
10 on the lift, big ball hits, mud flaps on the back so the sheriff won't bitch. Horns on the hood, 33's rub, more girls in the limo than they do in the club. I put Cali on the map like Uriah did, like Nick and Nate Diaz, 209 this kid. Didn't need a pair of pies to uncap this lid. Put the valley on the map before MapQuest did. Johnny Cash was alive and he's riding with the shine. Truck full of crackers and a box full of wine. 10 years on the grind, Kevin Zinger on the line. Get my mama on the phone, tell her I'm about to sign. I did it, I lived it, I get it, I'm raw. I spit it, I flip it, I give it my all. Built it from the ground up and did it with y'all. Hope I don't lose it, let loose on your jaw.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose.
They don't wanna see us loose, they don't wanna see us loose. Nah, nah.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose.
Hell, a shot of kids are coming out of the woodworks. I'll open up the high pods and flipping the bird. They're drinking whiskey till they saw silly beef and flirt. They're coming doing shows and singing every single word. Tricked a cataract sung, cause the way I recollected, read the moonshine man is for the first of country rap. Now we cash country checks from this country Cali rap. And I ain't satisfied till I got a country jet to fly my country ass around this country and raise hell. It took us 10 years and now we're loose from this jail cell. We're shining nation is gonna help me raise hell. By the end of the night, they're throwing all of us in jail. I'm a blue collar son, cause the style is automatic. On my midnight run, got my driving all erratic. And the coppers might cuff me, cause I've been causing static. By the end of the night, I blow the roof above the attic.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose.
They don't wanna see us loose, they don't wanna see us loose. Nah, nah.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Well, I went out last night, got fucked up and I blacked out, that's right. Cause we signed on the line and it's about that time for the nation to get up and get ready to shine. This is my family, I've been shining so hard I can barely breathe. And I had a couple biscuits along the way to try to settle me down, but I can never be down. Yeah, I don't get stuck in the rear view. I keep my eyes open, keep my mind in the clear view. And I can see this is real food. Been down for day one and it's about to get real loose. You said we did it underground, but we're a country cause we took you to the backwoods just to get funky with the 4x4s. Automatic, no stick, super swamper tie, 6-inch lift kit.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose.
They don't wanna see us loose, they don't wanna see us loose.
Nah, nah.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
Get loose,
get loose,
get loose with it.
if you please.
Next up, we got a little treat from our good friends Tax Free Mafia, who we just did a show with last week at the Gramophone. It's off the new album, G-Body Supreme. Get it on datpiff.com, DATPIFF.com, or under search mixtapes, Tax Free Mafia with a PH.
Don't think, just do it.
Right way, girl, you heard it come from like 3 blocks away. Maybe four. Got a motherfucking heel right, hair right, dress nice. Woke up before the sun did with a blunt lid. With my mind stuck on one tip. Shine till the glow is gone. Compose a song. Yeah, I'm going hard while you going home. My stock is shitting on your clone. Raise white letters, what I'm smoking strong. If it ain't a G-body in my driveway, it don't belong. Spending $600 on cologne for that green shit. I guess I am a victim of that green shit. Money all I need, shit. Fuck it, all the negative people can eat shit. Have my shit taste, shit face. I got my kicks laced, ready to dictate in this race. Cause when I says cake, I spray great. Lapping these niggas by like 10 days. Smoking a blunt with nothing but keep in it. Living my life on nothing but be smitten.
Yeah, baby. You don't smoke. Blaze to your road. That is not the bar. And make sure you don't hit that hard. It's not like the weed.
But you're not glistening. Train wreck got me loud, y'all quiet, bitches. Fuck some rims, stack my money 26 inches. If I get pinched, I'ma do the sentence. But I'ma go feds, know that I'm a fed nigga. It's fucked up, never been scared of jail, nigga. That's how it is, can't be scared to fail, nigga. Get your money up, that's what I tell niggas. This a grown man game, you can't tell, nigga. Can't snitch, make your bail bigger. You still gon' do that time, even though your cell's bigger. We living in hell, this what hell gives us. They put conspiracy in the game, the railroad niggas. You are not in control, niggas. You take that money, you getting exposed, nigga.
I've sailed the deep oceans, I've been to strange ports, I've seen things you would never believe. And in all of the towns, at the pubs I have found, there's one thing that most men will agree. Well, beer is better than women. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to the Guam and New Zealand, from hippies to Persian Bombay. Now a beer doesn't mind if you belch or you fart. A beer doesn't play hard to get. A beer doesn't think that Three Stooges are dumb. A beer's always ready and wet. Oh, beer is better than women. Oh, it is. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to Guam and New Zealand, from Hibbing to Perth and Bombay. Well, a beer looks the same in the morning, and a beer that is frigid is best. It won't make you buy tampons when you go to the store, or ask how you like the new dress. Oh, beer is better than women. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to Guam and New Zealand, from Hibbing to Perth and Bombay. Well, a beer won't get mad if you come home real late, or make you put pants on to eat. Wanna try a new kind? Go ahead, it won't mind, 'cause a beer doesn't care if you cheat. Oh, beer is better than women. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to Guam and New Zealand, from Hibbing to Perth and Bombay. Still don't ask who I choose. Either way I would lose. Between beer and women, I think. Without beer I go nuts. And the ironic part, without women, there's no reason to drink. Oh, beer is better than women. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to Guam and New Zealand, from Hibbing to Perth and Bombay. Everybody! Oh, beer is better than women. I can't hear you, ladies. Beer is better, they say. From Belfast to England, to Guam and New Zealand, from Hibbing to Perth and Bombay. Well, beer is better. Beer is better. Beer is better, they say.
Here, let me just throw this out here before I play this next little bit here. I went to Cyclovia on Sunday, and it was fabulous. They shut down nine miles of major boulevards in Los Angeles, and it was solid bicyclists through most of it. I never saw so many. It was Woodstock of bicycles. It was unbelievable.
Was Chicken Leather there?
I didn't see him. If I'm sure he was, but I'm sure he was lost in the crowd.
Where more than a few bicycles go, Chicken Leather seems to follow.
Oh, he seems to, glom on. He's probably got better video than me, but I've got this video that I took in Grand Park, which is a new 12-acre park that just opened up across from City Hall there. Got there off of Broadway and proceeded down to Chinatown and saw a live band and some other stuff, too. But at Grand Park, there was a DJ. And he does introduce himself, but he introduces himself in the middle of playing really loud music, so it's kind of hard to hear him. But he's this bald guy with a beard that was playing under this big stage in this park right downtown, while hundreds of bicycles peel by behind him, and plays three songs. Okay, so this is all I got. It's about an 8-minute cut, and
DJ that bald guy with a beard.
The soundtrack is a little clashy because, you know, it's a cheapy little camera, but it still sounds better than it looks because the sun was in my eye and in the monitor, so I didn't know what I was shooting half the time. So I would like to post it on Facebook, but you wouldn't want to watch it. It'll make your eyes go jiggly.
Well, and Cardinals fans that are out there, I was just talking to John. The scores are in. If you were watching the game, you surely know. Anyone else? Cardinals just beat the Washington Nationals in the 1-1 Game 3 big game. It's a 3 out of 5 series. This is a big game. Yeah. Game 3 in D.C. Sold out crowd. Not quite the decider, but this is the rubber match. This is the one. At 1-1 and a 3 out of 5, you got to win this one, especially on the road. Cardinals were in D.C. today. Sold out crowd. Nationals haven't been in the playoffs, you know, since their team moved from Montreal to D.C.
How many years has it been?
Well, gosh, I don't know when the last time was the Expos went to the playoffs, but I know as far as the Nationals, they've never been to the playoffs since they've been in D.C. So, sold-out crowd, Cards had split 1-1 at home. They beat them 8-0, folks. St. Louis beat the Nationals 8-0.
Beat the pants off of them.
Chris Carpenter, wow, winning pitcher today, and the big run coming from minor leaguer Pete Cosma, who came up and clubbed a 3-run home run in the, I believe, in this third inning. Could be wrong. I saw the box score kind of quickly. Uh-huh. But Mr. Cosma, you weren't even supposed to be on the playoff roster, and you're the hero today, as well as Mr. Carpenter, who was last year's World Series MVP. So God bless you both today, boys. As far as St. Louis Cardinals fans go, I say let's finish them off tomorrow in D.C.
That's so exciting. Oh, and by the way, a tip of the baseball cap to my friend Jerome, who is probably listening this afternoon, special listener. Haven't checked my tick count yet. Should be exciting. But let me play this this cut from this DJ at the Cyclovia this weekend. It's pretty good. I think you'll enjoy it. It starts
you
out.
Said there was some I Love L.A. in there, and we love L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Idyllic L.A. day captured on video in all of its musical and aesthetic glory.
Well, what do you think about the video, though? It was kind of jerky. Like I say, the sun was in my eyes, but I thought I got some pretty good shots.
You managed to, some ironic managed to stuff. Ogle women without them noticing, which is awesome. You managed to get, a real slice of L.A. white culture when they're out
at an event like that.
Oh,
and I
well,
mean
no,
that,
no.
Not that
LA is a total mix. LA is a total mix.
No, I mean white culture in the sense that in our town, folks, if you don't live in LA, all the white folks that are middle upper class kind of have two ways of carrying themselves. They're either extrovertedly goofy with their monkey shines, like everything's just all out there, like goofy fashion,
like the one girl dancing down by the stage,
right, shaking their
with
bananas
arms all over, yeah,
you know, wild outfits, sexually provocative things,
climbing lampposts and stuff, yeah.
You know, garish makeup, and then we got the other half, which are like these like hipster doofuses that like try and act too cool for school, and so they always just stand around looking hella constipated at all these things, like they look like they're trying to keep like a big Lincoln log up in there, dude. And I think it's interesting. That, to me, is a lot of the middle upper class white culture in our city. And you caught a nice slice of it with the idyllic setting and music.
It's a beautiful day.
For it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still cracks me up. I mean, it's almost like you captured unwitting social satire there.
Now, what should I call it? People dancing at Cyclovia Grand Park.
I think you should call it white people dancing.
It wasn't we all didn't, white people. It was all white people at all.
I think we should call it that anyway. Just because it sounds more angry.
Angry. Okay, so well, what else you got? Hey, got any Facebook people to shout at?
I do. I have some shouts. Facebook has been with us today. Thank you, Sav Gray, once again for sharing our links with your peeps. You've been a great tweeter and Facebooker for us. Shout outs to you. He's an STLA friend, all the way from STL to LA. Brian Beecham and Sarah Carter Beecham, who came out to our show last week at Gramophone, and I'm pretty sure you're listening right now. Brian, heads up. Nice work last week at the show. You brought great energy. We were very, very grateful to have you. I also want to give shout-outs to all my St. Louis connects. Won't take too long, but I'll make a short list here. John Maxfield, Tantrum Niche Records, and johnmaxfield.net. That guy, seriously, was my good guy Friday for that whole trip. Not so shy. And came through entirely. Just was so reliable the entire way. Kyle Mayberry, Jonathan Toth from Hoth. My boy Ralph Lopez out in St. Louis. Hadn't seen him in 15 years. You showed up to the show.
That's a friend.
Tax-Free Mafia, Matthias, his girl, Sean T, Heavyset, underrated Mike Blanco, Laura. We got Rue. We got so many people at that show. I just want to say love to you all. And then the big one is my best friend, Julian Venegas. Congratulations to him and Stacy Ray Turner Venegas, who are now newly married, which was the real reason for that trip back to St. Louis. Congratulations, you guys. You're in Mexico melting your faces off right now. I hope you're having a great time. Much love. Greatest wedding I've ever been to, for real.
Congratulations. Yeah, what made it so beautiful? Tell us about the wedding.
The simplicity of the service, the true love that was so clear, not just between them, but every single person in that room. We were all united in it. It was a beautiful feeling. Nobody made an ass of themselves.
It brought everybody
closer.
No one
upstaged the event. No selfish, narcissistic bullshit like there is at just about every other wedding I've ever been to, folks.
Somebody drinks and acts like a fool or some
mom,
family
dad
member.
Or divorced and they got to be separate tables.
Some kind of drama shit.
Fucking your bullshit outshining the day of your wonderful child or whoever getting married, your wonderful friend. Uh-huh. This had none of that.
Everybody was gracious.
Everyone was not only gracious, we all felt like instantaneous family, and that's a wonderful thing.
That's
I've
so
never
beautiful.
Felt that quite that clearly in a room before. I think there was only one cunt at the entire event.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to say, when you only got one cunt.
Uh-huh. And hopefully the people
out of how
around
many?
Him,
that was
people
pretty
around
good.
Him can just stitch them in and escort them home. You know
what so we just did? We all just stopped making eye contact with this individual. We just stopped.
Huh.
It was as simple as that.
Huh.
I said individual because I know everyone thinks cunts female hate speech, but not anymore, guys. It can be for dudes, too.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't even have to be hateful. It can just be a relative acknowledgement of your cunt-likeness.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do to fix it is just stop being one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, to be sure.
That's when you turn hate speech to love.
Rejoin
like, what's
the
up,
group.
My cunt? How you doing? Yeah. Yo, what's going on, my cunt? I just said it like 7 times now. I'm sorry. You're going to have to bleep all that out of the podcast.
Oh, no, not for this one. Oh, I don't
Kill
have to.
Kill Radio. You know. We can use whatever language we want.
You know, I put the parental advisory on it, you know, because, you know, we play salty music. So I just figured the news program, the news broadcast, I keep it clean. Keep it clean for the FCC. I really do. But for this, folks, you got to be ready for anything. You just have to.
So one more thought on weddings before we totally get beyond that. weddings should absolutely involve those that attend. And I know this best because I tried very hard to shun everyone from coming to mine. And it was not a very fun night for me because I was really on edge about all the people that were there. I wanted to do this alone. I wanted to already have been married and then come and, you know, have a reception. But if you do the basics like buy an open bar for your people, that's going to make them happier for you. Good music, good food. These are a prerequisite of a marriage. And I mean a wedding. Oh, we got a phone call.
Okay, did you get your statement in?
Yeah, that was it. Make sure you get that open bar. Make sure you have good, solid food at your wedding. That's it. Miss Manners will let you know.
Who should I say is calling?
Tyver.
Oh, it's Tyver. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You actually called from England.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Is this seriously you, dude?
That's really me.
Oh, my gosh. How long has this been?
This time.
How long has this been in the making that I actually hear your voice? We've been Facebook allies we've been Facebook allies for how long? And this is the first time I've actually heard you speak.
Long time.
So, Tyver, for our listeners out there in Kill Radio Land, tell us a little bit about where you are in the world and who you are.
I'm about 45 minutes from London. I discovered frozen food in around about 2006. Hold on, Tyver.
We lost your feed there for a second. We lost the sound on that. Let's get you back before you say that. Here, try saying something again.
Around about 2006, I discovered the frozen food, and I've been an avid listener ever since to the frozen food section, and everything has been an absolute blessing.
Wow. So now, how did you discover us? Go back and take me there. How did you find us?
I was just randomly scooting about. There was some guy posted a link online to obscure music, and through that I found the frozen food section. I started listening to yourself and Jonathan Toff, and from there I went to iTunes, and then everything fell into place.
To Kill Radio.
And
I have to admit, the stuff you've been doing to everybody, all the sends, all the care packages, have been amazing.
Well, and I really appreciate it, Tyvert, because obviously you and I have forged a friendship through social media, so it shows you folks that, you know, between other countries, we can become pretty close friends through this.
Absolutely.
And you did help inspire me with your earnestness and your unceasing praise and flattery and encouraging and all these things to keep at what I was doing through a lot of downtimes. You found me right when I was kind of at a low point. I don't even know if you knew that, but...
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
You know, knowing that there was a guy in Europe, not just around the block, that gave a shit and was telling all his friends about me, that gave me hope. You know,
I couldn't get enough. I mean, the thing is, what I liked is, you just did not go on about yourself. You dropped everyone else. Heavyset, Jonathan Toff. Everyone was involved, and I have the whole set. Love it.
That's right. I sent Tyvert a care package, folks. That was one of the baddest mamma jammas I ever sent because I knew you were a super fan. Oh, yeah. And John wants to know, are your friends now turned on by the care package and the music and all that as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know you were having some radio senditty parties early in the game when I was co-hosting with Bobby.
It gets dropped every time someone comes around it. And see, the thing is, I leave out the Ghost Well vinyl. It's actually displayed to everyone that comes in the house so they can all read it and see it.
And it's a conversation piece. It's like, you know, like a painting or something. You know, everyone's like, oh, who did that?
And it's like, check this guy out. You know, you can look him up yourself on your own system.
That's right. Well, wow. And, you know, Tyvert, you're demonstrating what we've talked about on here in past shows with John Maxfield and his brother Dale. They were talking about the importance of sharing music for free, but doing it strategically, finding those that you know will connect with it emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and that will then turn around and go out and, you know, share it freely with their friends and start the whole, you know, social epidemic that way of getting people excited about it, you know?
Yep, that's the same for me. I just want to plant that little seed so people start to question.
And how great is it to hook people up with free stuff? You know, I mean, like, God, if we can get in that mode of thinking this is awesome to hook people up with free stuff instead of, oh, why aren't you paying me? Or whatever other, you know, criticism you could have of it. You know, you're not getting paid for it. Yes, but I'm making people fall in love with my music. I mean, that's got to mean more than $10.
Yep, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm I think you have been one of the most influential in this way. And obviously, when it starts getting out into the world, that's when tipping points happen for most artists, you know? Yeah. So I felt like you were a major victory in that regard, too, that you were someone somewhere else besides the U.S. who was actively sharing it with people, you know? That's a huge boon to what we're doing.
No,
so I thank you, man.
Buddy.
Yeah, thank you. You truly have been a great friend and fan. So that's amazing.
Thank you as well.
Yeah. Well, dude, and you called in on your own dime. I don't want to waste any more of your money, but God, do you have any shout outs, man? You got any shout outs you want to shout out on Kill Radio?
Shout out to my boy Scott.
All right, Scott. And I know you got, is that your boy Scott, your son?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Now I know your son is how old?
He's now 20.
God, that's wild. Yeah. With a 3-year old, I think about having a 20-year old, and that's just like light speed away, but I know it's coming soon. Wowzers. Well, shout outs to Scott, man. I know he's a listener too, and we love you both, man. Much love.
And you too.
All right, bud. I will see you out in the face matrix. Your call is definitely going to inspire more free sharing of music with you.
Okay, take care, dude.
Right on, bud. I'll I got something juicy for you later. I'll send it to you.
All right, cheers, buddy.
All right, cheers. Peace.
Bye.
That was Tyvert, folks, all the way from jolly old England.
That's awesome.
Blessings.
That's awesome.
What a blessing that he
you know
would
what?
Do that.
I have a call from another fan on my other phone. The
Uh-oh.
Other lines are ringing.
Uh-oh.
So, but this is a little more interesting. Randy's on Skype, and I think I can get a line out from the board. Let's see. Can you talk into the board? Try it. Give me a test.
Let's see.
There we go.
Damn it. There's a little bit of lag.
What happens here?
Wow. Huh.
I'm here. Can you
I'm here.
Hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
There's a lot of lag here.
Can you hear me now?
It's, I don't know if I can turn it up any more than this.
Ah, and I hear the latency. Sure.
So anyway, here. Let me try if that'll help. See if I do that too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just calling. I'm calling in to tell you I'm catching the last half hour.
Uh-huh.
Hey, actually, Randy, call back on the line.
Yeah, call back on the kill
call
line, really.
Line.
You know,
can't hear you,
we
bud.
Can mix
call
you
back.
In better.
And I have to announce the retirement.
I don't think you
can hear me.
Oh.
Hey, Randy.
All
Randy.
Right, will do.
Randy.
Randy.
Are you there?
I'll call you back. Calling you back.
Okay, do that.
Okay.
Calling you back. I'm doing
Randy will be calling us shortly.
Oh, this
Sorry.
Wonderful
We're still working out the glitches on Skype there, folks.
Technological age that we live in here. Let's
Gosh, we
he's...
can get Britain loud and clear, but we can't get frickin' Skype. Okay, then. How's that work?
Well, I don't have it plugged in right, I think. It's all...
Oh, it's always human error, isn't it?
Oh, now the phone's
that red right. herring.
There you go.
There we go. All right. Take
all
it.
Right.
There we go. Here's Randy.
Oh, and it's Kill Radio once again.
Hello there.
Oh, much better. Much, much better. So, you know, the way it works now is, you know, if you want to talk to Tucker, I got to hand him the phone because you can't hear anything he says.
Well, I just wanted to tell you I'm going to catch the last half hour of the show, guys. Good to hear you. And I have to announce the retirement of my alter ego, Depresso the Clown.
Oh, Depresso the Clown is going to retire, huh? Well,
we should
throw him a party.
Depresso will no longer be doing birthday parties for little goth children. And, you know, the black balloon animals that, you know, we only do the snake. Uh-huh. But because Depresso just got a house, and you can't be very depressed when you're actually going to own your own little piece of the planet with shelter on top.
Randy just got property in Colorado after shopping for a year and a half. Or more, right?
Yeah, and having very little resources. For all you people out there who have low resources, look for a serious owner carry deal. They're out there. It took us forever to find it. We tried applying for a low-income loan from the USDA called a 502 loan, and we were denied, even though we're poor and living in substandard housing, which is the big qualifier for that program. Because the government's so screwed up and the Farm Bill hasn't been approved and signed, they just found an excuse to turn us down. But we found an owner carry for the same rent we're paying here, $300 a month, and only $500 down, and we're getting two big lots and a mobile home that needs a lot of work, and we'll own it in 7 years.
to own it outright. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury?
Wow, good
it's, for there. It's there. It's there. You know, so it's out there, guys.
The news
don't give up hope. You can do it.
The other news I should reveal to my listening public is there is a possibility that if John completely runs out of options after living 35 years in California, may choose to move back to Colorado to help Randy rebuild his dream home.
Well, when we say fixer-upper, we're really saying fixer-upper. So
a piece of the action. So, you know,
that sounds fun, you guys.
Enjoy some sky.
If I come through there, Randy, I might have to make a drop-in, man.
Yeah, that Tucker says you have to pay us a visit.
I can put the shingles.
That would be very cool, Tucker. You're quite the traveling man. You are quite the traveling man. I haven't looked at the tape that you posted on Facebook yet, but I did watch the Paul Bunyan video with Men with Beards, and it was great, and it was hilarious, and it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it. So,
hey Randy, hold on, can you hear me, Randy?
Let me pass you to Tucker.
Hold on. Hey Randy, that's so funny. Did you know that when we filmed that Men with Beards Paul Bunyan video, Toth, who's playing Paul and rapping, was in boots with homemade lifts. he added about 4 feet of lift onto his boots, so in the room he truly was about 8.5 foot tall.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful! The camera didn't reveal the effect as well as it could have.
It's true. We were doing it on cell phones and like a bunch of bums, but in the room
it had a true striking effect. It was really great.
Yeah.
What?
I said it had a true striking effect in the room. All of the people that were there were a little unsuspecting. They didn't realize that anybody was going to come in character. And Toth shows up as Paul with a real axe, like a real fucking axe from his house. And he's got like a cooler full of beer like he always has everywhere he goes. And he's like, and he's got his Oakley shades on. And he's seriously like walking around like, hey, I'm Paul. How you doing? Hey, I'm from Canada. Came down here to cut down some trees.
And funnily enough, Paul was from Canada.
Yeah, he's from Canada. And trees are no longer trees. They're lawyers and cops and judges. He's there to cut down the trees.
Yes, and on that note, I'm going to say goodbye and go to the men's room and grab a Republican by the neck.
Hey, blacks for Romney, right? Oh. If you're black and you vote for Mitt Romney, you're Carl Malone. I don't know any other black person who would do that. The mailman might, but that's
Michael
about it.
Michael Steele. Michael Steele is his name. He's the black Republican.
Herman Cain. Ah.
Yes.
Eat some Godfather's pizza.
999-999-911. Have fun, guys. I'm hoping you're going to play some more music. I just got back home. Take care. Congrats.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wow. It is really, the mantras that they were chanting on the end of the Yogist show, the accidental Yogist that's on right before us. What time is she on, John? The accidental Yogist?
Oh,
she's two.
Oh, yoga chat. 12. Yeah, 1 to 2:30.
She's on right before us. She did a chant at the end of her program. Do you remember what it was about? It was
hard. Yeah, the hearty heart chant.
But what was it for?
That's what I called this.
It was for abundance and prosperity, and getting rid of blockage in one's spirit so that they could be open to receiving it.
Exactly.
And now Randy calls and says that he's got this new home that he's going to own outright in 7 years. The Cardinals beat the dog shit out of the Nationals 8-0. And I also just found a whole suitcase full of unmarked bills on the street outside. It was covered in blood and blue paint, but that doesn't matter. It'll clean up. And then I can also buy my own rocket skates.
And can sell the suitcase. Yeah.
That's right. Rocket skates for everyone. I'm gonna be like coming over to your house like, who the fuck is it? It's midnight. Hey, it's me with some rocket skates. Shit, rocket skates? Let's go put those on right now. Hey, Let's go out on the street.
I'll go.
Wake the neighbors up. They're going to want to see this.
Woo!
I'm going to get my jetpack.
Up and down the hall, around the roof.
I saw, what's his nuts, Ryan Sheckler, the kid skateboarder douchebag. He actually got a jetpack and was fucking around in the the bay somewhere, like doing jetpack stuff. Like, you know, you can't really go more than like 20 foot in the air with one of these things.
But it is what it is. Wow.
Yeah. All I can say is it looked like there was more noxious fumes coming out of the jetpack than actual, you know, length in the sky.
They haven't they're probably not using the right propellant. They have to work on how to, all they need is anti-gravity.
You could power a jetpack on hemp. You could power a car on hemp.
And it would probably burn more efficiently, eh?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And on that note, the cops are like...
They're calling back. Calling back. Who the
it's
hell
me,
is this?
Dave, man.
The radio.
Hi, this is Ryan. I'm calling for Tucker.
Oh, Brian, huh?
Oh, it's Brian Beecham here. Can we get a little more sound? I can't hear him.
All right.
Brian, what's happening, dude?
What's cracking?
Well, I'm very happy you called in. What's the dilatory, Perper?
Play whatever you want. I'm just calling to say hey.
Hey, so, Brian, you were at the show last week on Wednesday at Gramophone in St. Louis. Give him a little recap.
Oh, man.
How did it start? Give us a little bit of kind of, you know, the beginning, you know, the middle and the end, if you will.
Well, take that.
You were like the first kids in the door too, so you get the like Boy Scout Be Prepared award for this one. You were there with your wife, and Jen showed up slightly after you guys, but she was pretty early too, so I gotta give you all props for being early. My friends, it's like if I say the show's at 9, they come at like 2 in the morning and go like, oh, when are you on, man? So now tell our listeners where you are, Brian. Where are you in the world?
Brian, no, this is Ryan.
Oh, Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, Ryan, dude. Now, it's like perspective change. I'm thinking you're Brian, and now I'm hearing Ryan. Ryan, what's up?
Not much, man. I'm just sitting here. I just got home from work a little while ago, just hanging out.
That's the way. So give us a little bit of the day in the life, you know? Like, what's a work day like for you?
Well, get up at 7, head on to work at about 9. Basically, greet all the participants, bring them into the site. Then either we start the group activities on site, or we prepare them to go outside. And usually, we go to the Redondo Pier where I met you, actually.
Right, dude. And it's so crazy because Brian, I'm thinking of Brian, my friend in St. Louis who's at the show. Ryan, I met you at the farmer's market in Redondo Pier. You were down there, and we've shouted you out on the show before with the Easter Seals folks. You're one of their attendants. And you came by while I was playing my guitar with my bucket out, instantly took to it, which is really interesting because, like I was saying, even most of the attendants that come down there with the special folks act like a bunch of constipated twits, dude. They really do. Most of them, they don't even want the special folks to listen to me. Like, they try and usher them along. Like, I'm going to, like, you know, my bum rays are going to taint them or something. Like, it's unreal. It's like them and child caretakers often do the same thing. Like, the summer camps, the kids want to stop, and they're like, no. Like, they think I'm, like, some drugged-out freak or something, and so they, you know, rush them along. But you were the antithesis of that. You come up with this huge smile on your face, this obvious, amazing, sunny California energy, and you want to buy CDs, so it's not even just a tip. You know, normally most people at that market don't even inquire about the CDs. They look at them like they're fucking trash on the ground. They really do.
Yeah.
You come up and go, I want to buy one. I'm like, great, man. You know, I think did I give you two? I tried to go, like, tried to hook you up, I imagine. But
no, I think I only got one.
You got but did you get a valet?
I don't remember.
You just got in the door. You just got in the door.
Oh, no, you know what? You gave me Tucker Booth for president. So I have a duel now, actually.
So you have president, and you have another care package that I sent you, because I know you were going through some tough times a little while ago, so I tried to send you a big fat care package to say cheer up. But that's cool, man. You're another example of Tyvert. You know, if you were... you know, a little earlier we had our friend and fan from Great Britain. I know you probably see him on my Facebook page. Tyvert comes on all the time. He's from London. This dude just called our show today. This dude is making huge steps, and he's another kind of care package friend like you were, where I'd met him, you know, once online, sent him a care package and music, like in emails, and then he became like you, like a humongous friend that just went to bat for me right from the get-go. And it shows you, folks, social media does work. It does. The accidental yogist lady was talking about it on the last show earlier. It really does lead to a lot of prosperous things, including friendships, which I think is obviously always going to be more important than business or money or jobs.
Of course.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like human currency out there, man. And we found it on Facebook, which is cool. Just off one meeting. Now we've been friends for, what, like a couple years? Almost about a year and a half.
About a year now.
Yeah, it feels like we've been friends for a long time, man. I feel like I've known you for a long time.
Exactly.
Well, gosh, thanks.
My mom absolutely loved you, and she hasn't even met you yet.
Thanks so much for sharing the music with people like your family too. I mean, dude, you're not just sharing it with anybody; you're sharing it with like your folks. Exactly. That's really cool, and I love that your mom has been so sweet too. I mean, she shouts stuff out to, you know, say to me or whatever, and that's wonderful. Please tell her I appreciate all of it.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, any shout-outs? You got any shout-outs while we're about to wrap this puppy up in about 8 minutes? Anybody you want to shout-out before we got to say goodbye?
Not really. Just wanted to call and hear you because I haven't talked to you face-to-face in forever. So
I know, man. And I know we were talking about this Halloween party that you guys are throwing on the 27th, right?
Correct, yes.
I shall see you there.
All right, man.
All right, brother, man. Thanks so much for calling in, and we'll catch you soon.
All right, see you later.
All right, church.
Way cool, man. Way cool. Way cool.
That's pretty awesome that these people took the time to call in today, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've gotten everybody from England to Colorado to Lawndale, California calling in for us today.
That's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You know, and I'd love to hear from people. It really shows. Have reached out and touched some people, and they enjoy it. A feather in my cap makes me feel really good.
And I think that this show has that kind of potential, as most Kill Radio shows do. It has the human currency we were just talking about, which is so different than most radio, and we all know it. Just turn on the radio, folks. Just turn on commercial radio and just take a stroll through it.
Oh, really?
Do you hear anything even remotely half as intelligent as the talk on Kill Radio? Do you hear any music half as kick-ass as the music that consistently works its way onto Kill Radio?
That it's real. It's not contrived. We really don't make much of a plan and come in and like to talk to our friends. That's what it is.
And how many commercials have we played in the last 2 hours, John?
Well, eat at Gina's Pizza if you go through Mar Vista, because that's my really good friend there on Sentinella, right between Short and Culver Boulevard.
And, of course, we'd like you to visit thefrozenfoodsection.com. But you don't have to buy shit while you're there. You can actually listen to a ton of free music. We've got free downloads. We've got free streaming video. We've got YouTube links. We've got a lot of stuff there that you don't have to pay a dime to enjoy. So please go to thefrozenfoodsection.com and prove me wrong.
That's really true. I've spent many an hour perusing the stacks there and checking out, you know, the different genre. This is a really big library.
Lots of links, lots of different artists besides myself and Jonathan that we've worked with and made music with. Links to a lot of our band camps. Of course, you can go to tuckerbooth.bandcamp.com.
The stuff down the side, on the right-hand side, you can really go farther and farther, yeah.
Usually on Bandcamp, just keep scrolling down where it says more releases. Dude, like on my tuckerbooth.bandcamp.com page, I've got my new album, Resolection. I've got another album, Ex-Boyfriend. On Jonathan's at jonathantothfromhoth.bandcamp.com. He's got about 4 or 5 albums on there now. At frozenfood.bandcamp.com, we've got 4 instrumental albums. So if you're into instrumental hip-hop beats, like if you like the flow or you're a DJ or a producer, and a lot of them are free downloads.
And so the very best part is you can listen to all of it. And if you want to buy it, it's there to buy so that you can purchase it and own it. But you can listen to it where it is as much as you want.
And we type out most of the lyrics verbatim so you can read along with the raps. Because obviously a big criticism with tongue twister rappers is, I can't understand what they're saying.
What did he say right
there? They're talking so fast.
Was that funny or not?
So Jonathan does them one better, and he got me doing it too. And that's he writes out all the lyrics for you so you can read along while you listen for free. So there you go. There's my big knob job of a advertisement, but that's the only one we've done in 2 hours, folks.
And okay, well, hey, it's worth throwing in there though too, because you're giving away free stuff.
That's right.
That's very cool. It's not you know, just because you're trying to sell them something, because you know, that option remains your own.
Actually, now that you say free stuff, these are the two: EX-Files, X but spelled EX, EX-Files.bandcamp.com. 15 free downloads there.
Wow.
The other one is thefrozenfoodsection.bandcamp.com. 15 free acoustic downloads of me singing and playing acoustic guitar. That's 30 free downloads that I just said, folks. Once again,
crap.
It's EX-files.bandcamp.com, thefrozenfoodsection.bandcamp.com. 30 free downloads.
Operators are standing by.
If you don't download them, who will? Now there's an ad you can take to the bank.
You know, I was just, it ran through my mind when I'm doing the edit on this show. I'm probably going to go there, just absolutely, because, you know, I'll have it verbatim. So,
there you go.
And
man.
We'll be, you know, up on podcasts in a few days. Don't forget to check out www.radio4all.net. Radio 4, that's a digit 4. .net, which is where I upload to, and there's a zillion good things that go up on that page in chronological order. And
you can search us both on there. You can search Not So Shy John and Tucker Dale Booth, and we pop up all over the place.
Yeah,
there.
I'm there on Kill Radio, of course.
And killradio.org, where you're listening right now, of course.
So glad to have you all this afternoon. Really am. I wanted to play one more song, okay? So I wanted to end with one more legendary Shack Shaker song called No Such Thing. But before we go, maybe we should do the big sign-off. I just want you all to love one another and stay tuned for the news, because I'm going to be recording it soon. And take care of each other in the coming week. Take care of your children. Show them the very much kindness and love that you can, and patience. And patience, and let them be who they are. And what
most
else?
Of all,
quit lying.
Fuckers.
Tell the truth.
Stop lying.
It's for real. Okay, here we go. No such thing. And just like that, no such thing, huh?
Is that a $3 bill just lying in the street? No, there's no such thing. Is that a rainbow shining through the storm I see? No, there's no such thing. Is that the face of the Lord in the wood of the door? No, there's no such thing. Is that a toad in the stone 2 million years old? No, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. No such thing. Well, the blade in the pit is dangling my thread. There's a buzzard on my bed, plus a bone in my leg. The dogs are barking and the bushes in my head. When will they learn? There's no such thing. Is that good news ringing on the party line? There's no such thing. A rapture divine from the kingdom of night. There's no such thing. Is it a free giveaway of a black Cadillac? No, there's no such thing. The tooth fairy wanting all his money back. No, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. No such thing. Well, believe it if you want, it don't matter to me. Like the tree trunks wide on a dead old tree. The shadow boys are squeaking every step of the way. When will you learn? There's no such thing.
There's no such thing.